Hello there, and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. I'm so happy that you're here and want to congratulate and thank you for saying yes to the possibility of attracting the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant-Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy, because I don't want you to just get a guy, but rather I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. I'm very passionate about helping single women who want to meet and attract your right guy because of my own journey to meeting and marrying my own Mr. Right and becoming an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. I just want to assure you that you're in the right place if you're tired of wondering why you're still single, sick of feeling alone or lonely, disappointed about the men you meet, frustrated about how past relationships have gone for you, wondering what is holding you back or standing in the way of you having the relationship of your dreams, starting to doubt if your Mr. Right is really out there, and finally, if you're ready to meet and attract the right guy for you, then I want to assure you, you are absolutely in the right place. This virtual gathering is designed to help you see what is really possible for you, to give you a renewed hope, inspiration, tools, and resources to help support you on your journey to the right guy. And I'm thrilled to tell you that I have gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance to help you meet and attract your own right guy. I'm really excited and thrilled to interview our guest today, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. It's my privilege to introduce and interview our wonderful guest, Amy Ehlers. Welcome, Amy.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle. I'm so excited to be here with you and with all of you that are listening out there. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. Now, I personally am a huge fan of Amy's work, and I just know that you're in for a treat. I have been following her work and reading her books, and I just think that what she teaches is so profound and so important for women who are on this journey and can really enhance the overall quality of your life. And just a little bit more about Amy before we get started. Amy Ehlers is the Wake Up Call Coach, and she's on a mission to wake up your inner superstar so you shine bright. After years of being a top-producing online media sales executive, she discovered the world of coaching in 2000 and never looked back. She's an international certified success coach, the CEO of Wake Up Call Coaching, the co-founder of the Inner Mean Girl Reform School, I love that, Inner Mean Girl Reform School, and the creator of the Women Masters Teleseminar and Exposing the Big Fat Lies Summit, where she has spoken alongside luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Sark, Lisa Nichols, and many more. Amy has been a featured expert on ABC TV for The Washington Post, The Huffington Post, and many radio stations, including NPR. She's a sought-after speaker and guest expert, and she leads workshops both in the U.S. and abroad. Her long-awaited first book, Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves, Ditch Your Inner Critic and Wake Up Your Inner Superstar, Amy's first book, hit number one in many categories on Amazon, including self-help and happiness. A 2011 recipient of a Woman Who Dare Award from Girls, Inc., she holds a BA from the University of California, earned the Certified Professional Coactive Coach designation from the Coaches Training Institute, is a Bigger Game Certified Coach, is a Certified Business Coach with John Assaraf's One Coach, and is a Master Coach equivalent. She resides in the San Francisco Bay Area with her extraordinary husband, Rob, their firecracker of a daughter, Annabella, and their rescue mutt, Rocky Blue. And Amy will also be sharing with us at the end of the call how you can receive a wonderful free gift from her. So with that introduction, wow, that's quite a list of accomplishments. And as you can see, Amy has had many opportunities to get her work out there to the world. So we're excited to be a part of that today. And Amy's going to specifically be talking today about Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves, coinciding with the title of her book. And I just think this is so relevant because these big fat lies definitely impact all of our lives and our relationships. So, Amy, welcome again.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, it's really true. I've discovered in my work, Michelle, over and over again that no matter how beautiful, no matter how wealthy, no matter how smart a woman is, on some level she's being way too hard on herself. And I like to call those negative thoughts that we beat ourselves up with big fat lies, because of course when we say to ourselves that we're not enough, or it's too late for me, or I'll never find Mr. Right, or I'm unlovable, whatever shape or form the big fat lie comes in, it is a big fat lie, because there is that other source inside of us that knows our truth, that I like to call our inner wisdom, and that's the person that I really want in the driver's seat of everybody's lives, including my own and including everybody that's listening right now.
Yeah, I love that. So your book, which is called Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves, Ditch Your Inner Critic and Wake Up Your Inner Superstar, talks a lot about big fat lies. And can you tell us a little bit more specifically what you mean by these big fat lies and how prevalent this is?
Yes. Well, you know, the National Science Foundation, people may have heard this before, but the National Science Foundation has found that the average person thinks about 60,000 thoughts per day, 60,000 every single day. And when you think about it, it makes sense, right? Because we have thoughts before we do actions, and throughout the day we constantly have this stream of consciousness going on in our minds and in our brains. But the problem is that the vast majority of those thoughts are actually negative. And we have, you know, science has shown us that our reptilian brain is really responsible as the source for those things, and it's really a source of protection for us to notice what's wrong instead of what's right. And so I really view those negative thoughts, as I was saying, as big fat lies, because for me, you know, I've been coaching now going on 14 years, and when I'm sitting across from a client, or I'm doing a teleseminar, or I'm, you know, leading a workshop or speaking in front of a room of women, it's so easy for me to see a woman's magnificence. It's so easy for me to know her beauty and her strength and her courage. But yet when we look in the mirror, we don't usually approach things in that way. Instead, we look in the mirror and we see the flaws. We look at ourselves and we beat ourselves up about what we're not, or who we used to be, or who we think we should be, or doing all the comparison things. And so with the big fat lies, that's really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about naming and bringing into your awareness the big fat lies that you're telling yourself, and that your inner critic or inner mean girl, as Christina Rilo and I like to call her, is really beating you up with. And that is what I am so passionate about. I'm really just passionate about women stopping the being hard on themselves cycle and starting to go easier on themselves. And once you do, you attract all sorts of amazing things in your life, including, of course, romantic love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is so core to, you know, creating what is possible in our lives, because if we have these negative thoughts going on, you know, we're finding evidences to back those up, and it really stymies what is possible. I love this concept that you and Christine have come up with of the inner critic or the inner mean girl. Because I think that is such a, you know, this is such a common challenge for so many women. I mean, it's almost universal, right?
Oh, it is. It definitely is universal. And, you know, we talk so much about the bullies on the playground in junior high school, and the bullies in the carpool line, and the bullies by the water cooler at work. But really the meanest bully of them all is that mean girl inside of us that beats us up and has us feeling less than. And it's interesting, actually, at Inner Mean Girl Reform School, Christine and I have come up with 13 different archetypes of inner mean girls. And so there's kind of the classic inner mean girl who's a bully, who's mean, who says cruel things. And then there can also be inner mean girls that are a little bit more slick, like the good girl inner mean girl, who's always doing exactly what she should be doing, doesn't, you know, is a complete people pleaser, doesn't want to say no, doesn't know how to draw any boundaries. That's the good girl archetype. Or then there's the loveless Lulu archetype, which is that archetype that is really beating you up about how unlovable you are and that you're damaged goods. And so it can be so helpful, and I actually invite everyone that's listening right now to go ahead and think, what is the flavor of my inner mean girl? Is she more a good girl? Is she more of an inner comparison queen, which is another archetype? Is it loveless Lulu? Is it the good old-fashioned bully? What is that version of your inner critic or your inner mean girl? And by taking her out of the shadows and into the light, that's when she could really be healed and when she'll get out of the driver's seat in your life.
So this is the little voice that says, you're not enough this, you're too much that, you're too old, you're too fat, you're too this, you're too that.
Yep.
Or you have to jump through all these hoops to get someone to love you or appreciate you, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think especially when it comes, you know, knowing that so many of your listeners right now are really ready to find Mr. Right, they're ready to attract in their soulmate, they're ready to really experience profound love, I think it's so important to start really unearthing those big fat lies and really looking at what is the story that I've been buying into about why this hasn't happened for me yet or why my last relationship failed. You know, because we're really the meaning makers in our life. We're the ones that assign the meaning. Everything is really a neutral event. And we are the ones that assign the meaning. And I find, as you were saying, you know, our inner critics will collect evidence to prove their theory over and over and over again. And so if that core foundational big fat lie is that you're unlovable or that you're damaged goods or that you're too old or too fat or too thin or too short or whatever, then your inner critic does. It goes around like a good detective and collects evidence to prove their theory. But when we really take that inner critic out of the driver's seat and put our inner wisdom in the driver's seat, that's when the magic occurs, and that's when we create a whole new story and the story that we really want to be telling.
Right. So, yeah, this inner mean girl can be really challenging to combat sometimes. But you're speaking about the concept of inner wisdom or inner superstar. And I'm wondering if you can share a little bit more about that with the listeners and share how we might be able to, you know, manage this inner mean girl.
Yeah. Well, I find that kind of the process at Inner Mean Girl Reform School and in my work and in my book, the process is first about identifying that inner mean girl. And so I'll just invite everyone to go ahead and make a list of the top 10 big fat lies that your inner mean girl beats you up with. And you can take this as an inspiring homework assignment to just start paying attention to how you're speaking to yourself, because, you know, it's kind of like we should call the authorities if people could hear how mean we are to ourselves. We'd all be arrested, right? Because we would never talk to even our worst enemy in that way, and yet that's often the way that we're talking to ourselves. And so telling the truth about it is a really important part of the process. So writing out those top 10 big fat lies that you beat yourself up with, whether it's about how your body looks, what's going on in your romantic life, what's happening with your finances, what's going on in your physical environment, really looking at what are those top 10 big fat lies. And then the next step is to actually ask your inner wisdom to respond to each of those big fat lies. And when I say inner wisdom and inner superstar, I'm talking about that voice within you that is your best friend, that unconditionally loves you, that feels like home, that really is the voice of your inner truth. And I promise everyone listening, I swear, every single one of us has this. you know, it can sometimes be called your intuition, your higher self, your gut instinct. We all have that part of us that knows the truth of how fabulous we are, that knows the truth of our power, and that really knows the truth of who we are and what we're capable of. And so accessing that other side, accessing that source of truth, is really the cornerstone of the work that I do with women, whether it's, you know, one-on-one or in a group setting or speaking in front of thousands of women, whatever format it is. It's really about helping women hear their inner wisdom and then cultivate the courage to act on it. And so when you have those big fat lies written down on a piece of paper, put, you know, the big fat lies on the left, and then ask your inner wisdom to respond on the right. And you can just ask your inner wisdom, you know, if you have I'm not enough as one of the big fat lies, ask your inner wisdom, what do you know? And then your inner wisdom can actually respond. And what will end up happening is you'll actually, on the right-hand column there where your inner wisdom responds, is that you'll have custom affirmations that you can begin working with on a daily basis so that you can really start ingraining in yourself these new neural pathways in your mind so that this can start to become the conversation that you have with yourself.
Mm-hmm. So by identifying what is going on, what the big fat lies are, just making sure I understand your process properly, and then asking your inner wisdom to, or inner superstar to respond to that and to offer an alternative point of view, so to speak, you can actually create your own affirmations that you can use to help shift some of that thinking that's going on or some of that messaging that's going on from the inner mean girl. Am I understanding this properly?
Exactly, Michelle. Yes, exactly. And I've really found that, you know, so often we'll use affirmations. I'm a huge proponent of affirmations. I have, you know, in my book, in Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves, there's 59 big fat lies, and then each one has a corresponding truth, then a coaching challenge exercise, a real tangible tool that you can use, and then an affirmation and an inspiring quote. And so I am very a proponent of affirmations, and I also find that the most powerful affirmations are the ones that have come from our own inner wisdom, because we know the truth of what it is that we need to hear.
Mm.
And so it's a matter of really tuning in to that inner wisdom voice and allowing ourselves to really hear that truth from the ultimate source of truth, which is, of course, that truth within.
Right. Right. So sometimes this, you know, thing that goes on, this inner mean girl thing, is somewhat subtle or even, you know, subconscious. Sometimes we're not fully aware when it's happening. How does a woman know or identify when she's being too hard on herself?
Always, you know, we know when we're being hard on ourselves or when our inner critic is present, when our inner mean girl is present, by the way that we feel. I really believe, you know, we ignore our bodies all the time. We ignore our feelings all the time. And just by simply tuning in to how things are feeling in our body is one of the biggest keys to understanding what's really going on. And so I find that anytime I'm feeling any sort of negative emotion, whether it's, you know, slightly irritated to absolutely enraged or completely depressed, anytime I'm feeling any sort of negative emotion, I can be assured that my inner critic and my inner mean girl is right there with a megaphone telling me some sort of big fat lie. And so what I invite, I actually have a wake-up call three-step process. It's a little similar to how we do the affirmations, but I find that the wake-up call three-step process can be really helpful in the moment when we're feeling any sort of negative emotion. And so the wake-up call three-step process goes like this. The first step is you're feeling a negative emotion, like maybe you're getting ready to go out on a date, and you're getting ready, and the inner critic starts. Maybe you're not noticing it at first, and all of a sudden you realize that you're feeling really nervous and you're feeling kind of crabby and the jeans that you wanted to wear aren't fitting the way that you want them to fit. or you're nervous and you're not sure if this guy is really the right person that you should be going out with or whatever the case may be. So there you are. The first question you ask yourself, which is step one, is what is my inner mean girl saying? What is my inner mean girl saying? And this, again, it can feel a little counterintuitive to people because, of course, we want to be thinking positive thoughts. But when we're feeling any sort of negative emotion in our bodies, whether, you know, and really notice the way that it feels. Is it tightening in your chest? Do you feel like your heart is racing? How does it really feel in your body? And then ask, what is my inner mean girl saying? And then allow your inner mean girl to come center stage and just rant. And you know, and this can be very healing. It's when I'm live with women in workshops and so on and so forth, we do this in pairs, and it's so fascinating to have women just allow themselves to rant, because like you're saying, Michelle, so often we're not even aware of what we're saying to ourselves. We're not even aware of the story that we're making up. It's all on the subconscious level. So all of a sudden you feel something negative going on in your body and you go, well, what is my inner critic saying? What is my inner mean girl saying? And you let that part of you rant. You will be amazed at what is going on the subconscious level that you might not even be aware of. And so let that inner critic rant. You can do this in a journal. You can do this just in your head. You can do this in partnerships. You can say it out loud if you're by yourself and it's safe. So go ahead and let your inner critic rant. And all of you listening right now, I invite you to just actually think of an area of your life where your inner critic, your inner mean girl is being hard on you. Just let her rant and go ahead and write down a few sentences about it. So maybe it's like, you know, you're just too old for this. Why are you even bother trying again? You know, you're never going to find the right one. It's never going to happen for you. You're just one of the unlucky ones. You know what? You're just unlovable. You're just damaged goods. Just let her rant. And then you'll find like a spiral. Well, you'll start spiraling down, and then you'll feel this point in the ranting where it kind of hits that cocoon, that foundational big fat lie that you've been beating yourself up with about this particular topic. Mm. And it's important to just let it land there and just hear what you've been saying to yourself and what your inner mean girl has really been saying to you. And once you've hit that it's kind of, you know, like the mother load. It's like, we've got gold, people. And it doesn't feel very good because usually what it is pretty big. But it also, I find with clients and having done this thousands and thousands of times, is there's also some relief. And there's also some, like, you see the absurdity of it. Like, oh, I'm just unlovable? That's absurd. Who on this planet is unlovable? Who would we label as unlovable? Mm-mm. Just not true. And so once you've found that space there, then go on to step two. So I'll invite everyone, as long as it's safe to do so, to do step two with us here. Just go ahead and close your eyes. Take a deep breath. And just ask, what does my inner wisdom know? What does my inner wisdom know? And that is when you really have the opportunity to hear what you really think of you, what that part of you that loves you unconditionally knows. So your inner wisdom might be saying to you, sweetheart, you're at the right place at the right time. This is the perfect time for you to attract in, Mr. Wright. You are so lovable, and there are so many reasons to love you, whatever the case may be. What is my inner wisdom now? And if you're writing things down, you can go ahead and open your eyes and just make a few notes of that. And then the step three is a neuro-linguistic programming technique, an NLP technique, where you actually find some sort of small movement or gesture that symbolizes your inner wisdom. So for me, I actually tap on my heart, rub my heart a little bit. If clients that put their hand on their solar plexus, some other people look up towards the sky, whatever that movement is for you, it doesn't even need to be big. But just find that movement and then repeat back out loud your inner wisdom's truth while doing that movement. And this is about really anchoring in the truth and beginning to build that new neural pathway, in your mind and in your brain. So just repeat back your inner wisdom's truth. And here's the thing about the three-step process. It's really, really you can do it really fast. You can also have more of a conversation and do it in partnerships and have it last for a while longer. It's something that you can just pull out of your back pocket anytime when you're not feeling great, when you have some sort of negative emotion running through. And so the step one is, what is my inner critic or inner mean girl saying? Step two is to close your eyes and take a deep breath, and then ask, what does my inner wisdom know? And the third step is to lock it in with an inner wisdom movement while saying those inner wisdom truths out loud. So I hope that tool is useful. On my website, I have this amazing video. I did this in front of a room a couple of years ago, and I had this young woman named T who came up on stage and was my volunteer. And honestly, Michelle, every time I watch this video, I cry because she's so vulnerable and so tender about what her inner mean girl was saying. And then when her inner wisdom responded, it was like the whole room just fell silent. And she was just, it was so amazing to see her power. And so people can check that out at wakeupcallcoach.com, and you can just click on the 3-step process, and you'll see a little worksheet that you can get as well as the video of me walking T through that step in case that's helpful for people.
Yeah, I think that is extremely helpful, and really appreciate you sharing that process. And I think that it's something that, we can take away from this call and implement right away. So I appreciate you, giving something to our listeners that they can, begin to work with right now, to begin to, move through the big fat lies that the inner mean girl is telling, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So I know in your book, Big Fat Lies, you have 59 lies, and some are more common than others. What would you say is one of the most common lies? And you've told us a little bit about how you address each lie in the book, but tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, big fat lie number one is, of course, the good old-fashioned, I am not enough, which is just, and it can show up as, I am not good enough, I am not smart enough, I am just not enough. And it's definitely one of those things that really is one of those core foundational lies, like I was talking about, when you kind of spiral down and then you hit kind of the bottom, the basement, so to speak. And the I am not enough, it's so interesting because when you look at the role that media has had, especially on women, basically the subtext of every ad we've ever seen is that you're not enough. You're not enough by this wrinkle cream. You're not enough by these jeans. You're not enough to get this car. It's really the subtext of pretty much every advertisement that we've been exposed to since we were little tiny babies. And it's interesting, I have a 6-year-old daughter, and she's, undergoing this miraculous transformation of learning how to read. And so she's reading more and more and more, and she's starting to really get into reading and just exploding with all of this reading and just loving books. And then I had her out the other day. We were out going to a movie or going somewhere, and she looks up and she said, "Melt your fat away." And I was like, "What?" Well, she was reading a billboard. And I was just like, my heart kind of broke. I was like, oh my gosh, the good news about being, reading becoming this new thing in her life is that she's devouring these books, and, she has like a little light that she puts on her books when she gets in bed at night, and she's so excited about it. But the bad news is now all of those messages that we see out in the world on billboards and with magazines and all of that, all of a sudden her conscious and even more so her subconscious mind is starting to take those things in. And it was really a wake-up call for me. I did a great interview where I interviewed Jean Kilbourne, who's an incredible media expert, who has this wonderful movie called Killing Me Softly. And she's based her whole life and all of her studies on looking at the role of media influence on women. And one of the things that I learned from her is that what we see in advertisements, what we see in the media, only about, 4 to 8% of it just actually registers in our conscious mind. The rest just gets filed into our subconscious mind. And so even though we're smart women, we're smart. We know those things. Like, we know that that image isn't real, that that's been photoshopped and airbrushed to death. But our subconscious mind doesn't necessarily know that. And so we're absorbing this, and we've been absorbing it since pretty much the day we were born on different levels. And there's a cost to that. And that's one of the reasons why I find that I am not enough as one of the biggest, fattest lies of them all, that is perpetuated over and over and over and over. And so, of course, our job as the smart, powerful, amazing women that we all are is to take our power back, and to take our power back by doing things like positive affirmations, by doing the wake-up call three-step process, by listening to summits like this that you've put together, Michelle. You know, it's so important for us to feed our subconscious positive messages so that we stand a fighting chance to have a healthy self-esteem and have self-love and self-compassion as part of our lives. Because without that conscious effort, we're left to the devices that are running our culture. And a lot of that media influence is just not positive.
Yeah, oh, that's so true. So much of the messaging, you know, it is centered around, like you said, this belief that we're not enough, and in order to be enough, we have to get this product or look this way or whatever, and it sets up these impossible standards and kind of perpetuates that belief over and over again.
Yeah.
And I know that you've already mentioned this, but I'd like to spend a little bit more time here. I know that for a lot of single women, another big fat lie is big fat lie number 3 from your book, which is I'm unlovable. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you could speak to this one a little bit more, because I know you've mentioned nasty, loveless Lulu that comes in, but I'd like to spend a little more time on this one.
Yeah. Well, you know, loveless Lulu, that archetype, is one that is based on a client of mine from many, many years ago now, who was single and had an amazing career, beautiful, beautiful woman, inside and out, and just was a really unique, special human being. And as we started to work with her inner critic and her big fat lies, the thing that came out over and over again was this whole I'm unlovable theme. This was kind of her core foundational big fat lie. And the thing that's so tricky when you have an archetype like Loveless Lulu running the show is, you know, we've mentioned this, that she'll collect evidence to prove her case. And so what would happen is it was almost as if Loveless Lulu was the one that was in charge of my client's dating life. And she would be the one that would pick this woman's dates, and she was a magnet for men who would treat her like she was unlovable.
Mm.
And that's exactly how I felt, Michelle. It was heartbreaking.
It's painful, yeah.
It is. And when she really got this on this core level of, oh, all that I'm doing is dating, you know, as Christina Radlow puts it, you know, jerk 1.0, then jerk 2.0, then jerk 3.0, was like just the same guy over and over and over again that just treated her like crap. And she really began to take her power back and say, huh, what if I let my inner wisdom choose my dates? What if I actually, if I feel that draw towards a guy and I have those red flags, I know, oh, Loveless Lulu just picked this guy. I'm staying as far away from him as possible, and I'm going to go towards what really in my body feels like this person might be someone that would treat me like I'm lovable.
Mm-hmm.
And so she really began this process of, first of all, loving herself, because that's, of course, where it all begins. And I know, I'm sure all of your guests and your experts have probably talked about this, but self-love is just so, so, so important. And it really, when we love ourselves, it's not that we have to love ourselves perfectly. Believe me, I met my husband when I did not love myself perfectly, and I'm a work in progress every single day of learning more and deeper ways that I can love myself. But boy, you know, it really is about having your inner wisdom be the one that gets to pick your dates and feeling into things that feel outside your comfort zone, like, oh, God, maybe he's just boring or maybe he's kind. What about that? What would that be like to be in a relationship with someone who's kind and who treats you like you're lovable? And so that's what my client started to do. She started to allow her inner wisdom, and she ended up, and within about a year, getting married. And she actually ended up getting married on one of those television shows. This is when I lived in LA.
Wow.
And so there was a lot of different television, you know, but like one of those reality wedding shows.
Uh-huh.
She ended up getting married on one of them.
Wow.
And she didn't meet the guy on there, but like they filmed her wedding, like she was like a sample wedding. It was kind of like
got it.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But it was really amazing to watch the light bulb of, oh my God, I have been letting Loveless Lulu run the show in my dating life, and she's getting out of the driver's seat, and I'm putting my inner wisdom in, and she just started attracting completely different men. Completely different. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I love that. Yeah, so another one that comes up is Lie 22 in your book, which is I'm a Failure. And I think this comes up a lot for single women, particularly if, you know, they've had some disappointment or past relationships that haven't worked out or possibly divorce or betrayal.
Yeah.
Tell us a little more about this one.
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing that I will say is being divorced or having a relationship that didn't work or a marriage that didn't work does not mean that it was a failed marriage. I think, especially when we know the divorce rate is as high as it is, I think it's time that we really declare that the majority of the people on the planet will not be married to the same person for their whole life. And the reason that that is because we're human beings and things change, right? And so I don't think that there's any reason that we should be saying the marriage failed. I think we should be saying the marriage came to its conclusion.
Mm.
And we're now ready for a new chapter in our lives. And to really take the shame and embarrassment out of that.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, it's so common and so normal these days, and there's just nothing wrong with it. You can have a very successful marriage that lasted 10 years, and then that's when that relationship was supposed to end. And I think that it's really important that we don't put those labels. You know, for me, I've been with my husband now for 13 and a half years, and you know, we, on our wedding vows, we did not say till death do us part, because that felt really false to me. I was like, how on earth could we possibly say till death do us part? We don't know what will make us part. My intention is that I will be with him for the rest of my life, and his intention is that he will be with me for the rest of his life or the rest of my life, however things turn out. But we consciously said that is not going to be a part of our wedding vows, because that's not a promise that's not a vow that I can really take. The only person I can vow to never leave is myself.
Hmm.
And so that's the most important vow for all of us. For me, you know, I read Sark's amazing book, Succulent Wild Woman, back in 1998 or 1999, when I was going through a breakup with my college boyfriend who I'd been with for 5 years. And I read in her book that it was the first time I'd ever been exposed to the idea of marrying myself. And I went with a group of girlfriends, and we went out to the beach, and we each bought ourselves rings, and we did a marriage ceremony. I'm actually still wearing my ring right now. It's one of my favorite rings that I own. And we married ourselves, and we promised to never leave ourselves, and we actually wrote vows saying, I promise to never leave me. I promise that I have my own back. I promise that I won't self-abandon anymore. And I ended up actually meeting my husband about 6 months later. And I believe that one of the reasons why was because I was so settled in loving myself and so committed to being only in a relationship that would really, really work for me. And so I was shocked when I met my husband. I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. I kept wondering, where is this guy's messed upness? And he kept waiting for my messed upness. And here we are, you know, 13 and a half years later, as happy as can be, and really consciously on a daily basis choosing, our relationship and our marriage and doing the work that it takes to make a marriage work and continually choosing, yes, I'm at choice with being in this relationship. So I just want anybody out there that's framing, again, we're the meaning makers, to really do some self-forgiveness around treating yourself like you're a failure because the marriage didn't end up going on longer or the relationship didn't end up going on longer. I always have loved the Winston Churchill quote, success is leaping from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's a wonderful quote.
It is such a great one, and I think that that's just it. It's like sometimes it's about going from a relationship to the next relationship without loss of enthusiasm and trusting that if what you want is to have a soulmate and a soul partner that maybe will, you know, be there for the rest of your life, have that intention and trust that it's unfolding for you. And know that we all have failures in our lives, and that doesn't mean that we're failures. It just means that we've experienced failure. So it's really important to reframe that. And to also, as I said before, I wouldn't call a divorce or a relationship that ends a failure. I would just say that that relationship was an amazing success for X number of years or for X number of months, and now it's time to conclude it.
Yeah, or an amazing success because of what we gained in terms of inner wisdom or
yes.
knowledge or understanding.
Yes.
I love that reframe idea because it can be devastating if we're feeling like, you know, we've just utterly failed rather than, you know, reframing it into something as a learning or growing or step in our progression.
Yes, absolutely. And all of our relationships are there as teachers, and they really are. And, I just couldn't agree with you more, Michelle. I think it's so important. And again, you know, I know there might be some people who are like, yeah, but Amy, Michelle, my marriage did fail, and then I hurt my kids, and, you know, all of that. And it really is about choosing the words and the languaging and the perspective that makes you feel better. Because you feeling better means that you're going to be doing better and being better. And so there's no shame in making a decision to choose a perspective that just feels better. When we feel better, everything in our lives improves, including the mom that we are, including the potential partner that we are, including the friend, the sister, the lover, the whatever that we are. When we feel better, we do better.
Yeah, I love that. I'd like to have you discuss one more of the big fat lies in your book, because this one, again, is so common and so and has such a significant impact for so many women, which has to do with being obsessed with body image, you know, that I'm too fat, thin, tall, short, ugly, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do we move through these lies?
Yeah. Well, you know, I really find that our obsession with this is such a big fat lie, because I don't know about you, but I know plenty of people that are quote unquote not traditionally good looking and have extraordinary lives.
Right.
And so I think it's really about what is that I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, I'm too whatever, I'm too old, whatever it is. What is that lie? What is that belief costing you? What is it costing you? How are you not showing up for the life that you have because of it? Is your weight keeping you from going on Match.com and finding, you know, and really attracting in or eHarmony or whatever? Is it keeping you from getting, you know, going for the promotion at work, and really getting that you're keeping you from doing that? Your belief is actually the one keeping you versus whatever the scale says or whatever size pants you're wearing right now. It's really about that. And so starting to heal that really comes from noticing that, oh, I know that actually my weight has nothing to do with my dating status. Unless I say that it does.
Right.
And so really getting what is it costing you, and then also getting, and this is a really important question, but what's the benefit or payoff of believing that? And this might sound a little weird, but I know for me and for many clients, you know, the belief about the weight or how you look there's a payoff in letting that hold you back. Oftentimes a payoff around safety, a payoff around not having to risk. Like you can use the weight or your age or how short or tall you are as the excuse for not going after what it is that you want. And so there's a convenience to it. I'm reminded of there was a movie once, I think it was called Crumb, about the comic book artist, and he's going in front of a mirror and looks in the mirror, and he has his shirt off, and he sees this big pot belly of his, and then kind of the dots go up. It turns into a cartoon, and it says, ah, another reliable disappointment.
Mm.
And I think that that can be so true. There can be a way that our criticism of how we look becomes a reliable disappointment. It's like I can hang my hat on that. I can use it as the excuse of why things aren't working out for me. I can use it as an excuse of why I'm not, you know, dating or finding the love of my life. And when we release it and we say, you know, the cost is just too high, it can feel really scary because we don't get how much we've been relying on that disappointment, relying on that criticism to keep us small and to maintain that status quo. I have a client who recently was doing some body image work, and I mean, she went from not being able to, like, she had basically made it so that she never had mirrors in her house because she didn't ever want to look at herself in the mirror. And by the time that we Christine and I do a program called the Inner Wisdom Golden Circle, and it's a 9-month program, and we're at the end of that program now, and she went and did a photo shoot on the beach, a nude photo shoot on the beach. And like that is how free she is feeling in her body now by really making the decision that it was more painful for her. And this is not about her losing a whole bunch of weight or looking a whole bunch different externally. This is about her changing who she is on the inside and changing her relationship of herself from one of self-criticism and self-abuse, really, into self-love. And the freedom that she feels, it is just jaw-dropping to witness her. And so I really invite everybody listening that is letting their weight, their age, their looks, their body in some way, shape, or form hold them back for you to really look at what is the payoff, what is it costing me, and is the cost just too high? And if it is, really making a decision to step forth and do a bold baby step of saying, I've always thought I was too da-da-da-da and to do this, and actually doing whatever this is anyway, and making a bold statement around that for yourself and watch the world open up for you.
Yeah, I think this is so profound. And if you don't mind, I'd like to share a little personal antidote here.
Please.
Along these lines. So about a year and a half ago, I was actually diagnosed with breast cancer and have been on an intense journey to survive breast cancer over the last year and a half. In so doing, I had some pretty major physical changes, lost my hair from chemotherapy, had some surgical changes, had to take some steroid medications that made me gain some weight, not things that have been fun or flattering. Now, the good news is that my prognosis is very good, but the transformation that has taken place in my body has been very challenging and very difficult. And as I was thinking about scheduling this telesummit, I thought, I don't have long hair now, I have short hair now, I've gained some weight, I look different, and I thought, I don't even want to put the little video of myself on this opt-in page because I don't look the same as I did before. And one of the things that, you know, helped me to move through that, to be able to move forward with this, is to say, you know what, it's not, this my work and what I do is not so much about what I look like, but what my message is and how I can help other women who are on this same journey. And it's not so much about me as it is about, you know, what is possible from the work that I'm doing in the world. And yet that that lie and that inner mean girl and the things that were going on in my mind really almost stopped me from even moving forward with doing this project.
Oh, Michelle, well, first of all, I'm just so glad that your prognosis is so good, and thank you so much for sharing that with everybody, because I know that everybody listening is feeling so inspired by you saying, you know what, I'm not going to let this stop me. And we wouldn't be here on this line right now. We wouldn't be here with all of these wonderful human beings being able to listen in to this wisdom and to all of these beautiful guests that you've gathered here if your inner mean girl had been the one that made your decisions for you. So I'm so glad that you went forward in that way, and I'm so glad that your health is returning to its natural state of well-being.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just is interesting to me how powerful those voices can be, and how it can really almost, it can stop us in our tracks from moving forward in very important and powerful ways in our lives, if we allow them to overcome us. And so this whole topic that we've been discussing today so resonates with me, and I feel like it's so important, and the message that you're sharing is so significant, and I am so grateful and so happy that so many women are going to have the opportunity to, you know, be blessed by this wisdom. So just a couple more things before we wrap up. One thing that I think that, you know, may come up for some people is, you know, we tend to kind of live in a world where we're kind of hard, you know, driven hard and, you know, competition and, you know, achievement focused and all of these things. And sometimes, you know, we might even think, well, if we stop being so hard on ourselves, are we going to end up being lazy or lose our ambition?
Wondering, yeah,
what you think about that.
Yeah, well, the good news is no. I mean, I think that is a common big fat lie, is we think that, you know, the criticism and the being hard on ourselves works.
Right.
And I have found over years and years and years the opposite is true, that when we go easy on ourselves, when we have compassion for ourselves, that's what really fuels changes that last. Sure, the self-criticism and the driving yourself hard thing might work for a short time, but it doesn't allow you to really have the changes. When we make a change in how, what we're eating, or we make a change in who we're dating from that source of inner wisdom and self-love, we get completely different results than if we're doing it from that inner mean girl fear place, from the you should place, from the obligation place, and from the punishment place. It just opens the doorways up. And so, no, you don't have to give up your ambition. In fact, let's replace ambition with inspiration. And that's what can really bring the magic on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, it just reminded me of, I remember having a conversation with one of my clients a few months back, and she was talking about how, you know, she didn't feel lovable and she didn't feel like she was worthy of love because she had some extra weight. And she said, I think I'll be able to love and accept myself when I lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to her, I said, actually, you know, it's probably the opposite, that you're actually more likely to lose weight once you love and accept yourself.
Exactly.
And so I think that, you know, this idea of, you know, beating ourselves up and thinking that's going to get us to where we're at is, you know, sometimes what feels like what is natural, and yet it's actually that inspiration and that love, that actually self-love, that can help really propel us forward.
Absolutely. That's exactly right, Michelle. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to have you share a few last thoughts and kind of some main concepts that you want our listeners to take away in just a moment. But before we do that, I am really excited that Amy has offered to give a free gift for all of the participants of the Ready for the Right Guy Telesummit. And I'll have her tell you a little bit about it. It's called the Inner Superstar Kit. But to get this gift, you would go to
readyfortherightguy.com/Amy, and that's A-M-Y. So one more time, readyfortherightguy.com/Amy. So can you tell us just a little bit about the Inner Superstar Kit that you're offering as a free gift for our listeners today, Amy?
Absolutely. So this kit has five tools in it to help you transform those big fat lies and really connect in with your inner wisdom. And so it includes a visualization called Awaken Your Inner Superstar, and also a step-by-step big fat lies guide, and my three-step process, which we talked about on this call today, a transformation one sheet about that, and then as well as two additional downloads, one called Wake Up Your Deeper Wisdom, and one called an interview that I did with bestselling author Lisa Nichols. And so there's five different tools to really help you transform your big fat lies and really wake up your inner superstar so that you can shine bright. So I'd be so delighted for any of you to go ahead and download that free kit. As Michelle mentioned, the URL where you can do that. And you'll also be subscribed to my Wake Up Call Wednesday newsletters that I send out almost all Wednesdays, usually with videos just that give you little tidbits of wake-up calls and inspiration along with your week. So I'd be honored to have any and all of you join me there for the Inner Superstar Kit.
Yes, thank you so much, Amy. And I encourage you all to sign up for this very generous gift. And again, just one more time, you would go to readyfortherightguy.com/Amy. So before we wrap up, Amy, and I want to thank you so much for generously sharing of your wisdom and guidance, and I know it's going to be so valuable for so many women. I just wonder if you have some last thoughts of what you most would like our listeners to take away from this conversation.
I think the biggest thing is for you to get that you do have these two voices inside of you. The voice of your inner mean girl, your inner critic, and the voice of your inner wisdom. And then at any moment you choose, you can decide to tune in to your inner wisdom and lead an inner wisdom-led life. And when you do that, you know, your inner mean girls, our inner critics are never going to go away. It's part of the human experience. But the trick is that we don't want our inner mean girls and inner critics making our decisions for us. And so for all of you, as you go out and you attract more love in your life and find the soulmate and the man of your dreams, allowing your inner wisdom to be your guide and be the one that makes the decisions for you. You'll have a completely different experience if you go about it in that way. And I know that that is possible for any of you and for all of you.
Thank you so much, Amy. I'm so appreciative of all that you've shared today. And I also want to thank each of you as our participants for being with us. We know that life is busy and congratulate you for taking a stand for what you most want in your life. And I just want to quickly remind you that during the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit, you will have access to the best wisdom from over 20 love and relationship experts, and you'll be able to listen to the broadcasts. And then the replays will be available for 48 hours after each interview. Knowing, however, that life gets crazy and you may not be able to catch all of the interviews on the broadcast, I want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package and purchase the MP3 recordings of all of the interviews so that you can listen multiple times at your own convenience and have access to these interviews in your personal audio library. And we are offering special event pricing for the VIP upgrade package during the summit at readyfortherightguy.com/ready for $97. So one more time, that's readyfortherightguy.com/ready. I want to thank you so much for being here with us today, and I also again want to thank our special guest, Amy, once again. And I look forward to having you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. And Amy and I are sending you much love, many blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for your right guy. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.